Welcome to On Air, a podcast by Fembala. We host bi-weekly discussions with inspiring founders and professionals from all around the world to talk about their journey, aspirations, and the power of connection. My name is Clara, and I'm the co-founder of Fembala, a career development platform for women. Our guest today is Hana Součková. Hana has been the managing director of SAP Czech Republic since August 2018 and is responsible for managing the whole team, as well as for the business results of the Czech branch. Before joining SAP, Hana worked on several marketing and sales management positions. In her free time, she likes to do sports, especially biking, and she also organizes biking races for children. With Hana, we talked about her multiple career shifts, the importance of stepping out of her comfort zone, the challenges of managing managers, and her tactics on work-life integration. Get inspired by one of the most influential women in the Czech Republic and listen to Hanka's story. Hi, Hanka. Welcome to Fembala podcast. I'm so happy to be able to get you on this podcast.
First of all, also, hello, good morning to you and to everybody who is listening to us. I'm really very much curious what we will talk about.
Okay, so let's dive straight into it. Hanka, when you were a kid, what did you want to do when you grow up?
Actually, I really didn't have a clue. If we are talking a kid, I didn't have any plan. But when I was, I think it was 15 or 16, I got my first edition or first copy of magazine Elle. And since that time, I had for quite long time a kind of, let's say, dream that I will become a chief editor of Elle, because I was so much, you know, it was so nice magazine and lot of nice pictures, and it was fitting because, you know, one of my big obsession, this is something that is really my big obsession, is that my colors has to fit, you know, even the necklace and the colors of my watches and everything and the shoes and so on. And I'm very, let's say, very crazy about that. Of course, my daughter currently as well, because I somehow, let's say, from her really born time, I was really fine-tuning what she's wearing and so on. And now she's 10 and she's very similar to that one. So this was, and actually it's a little bit different where I am now.
All right. So you didn't end up becoming a chief editor of Elle, but you became managing director at SAP, which yes, is pretty cool. So just a little bit more about your background. You studied civil engineering, and you have worked at one of the biggest Czech companies that builds bridges, and you tried out many different departments such as sales, production, finance, marketing, and even field work there. And then in 1998, you joined IT company as a marketing manager. And ever since, you stayed in the IT business. 2 years ago, yes, you became the managing director at SAP, a company that only in the Czech Republic has more than 2,000 employees. So that was really in a nutshell. But can you please tell me more about the personal journey that led you where you are today?
First of all, I have to say that any or each of these changes in my career happened by accident. So nothing was planned. Nothing was that, you know, I was dreaming for this job or that job. So actually, you know, when I was studying civil engineering, I met a very, very fabulous professor that was focusing on marketing. And I totally get in love with marketing, you know, with all the possibilities and how you should influence through marketing so many things around. And when I graduate and I finish, then my very good friend called me that this local IT company is looking for a marketing manager if I would like to be interested. And I said, why not? And fairly said, I have to say that first 3 weeks I was crying even each evening because I didn't understand the world, what it's IT behind, because the all these, let's say, different language, different everything what I knew at that time. I was like, oh my god, you know, this is probably not to me. But then I found something that is really very similar, what I like it on the, also the civil engineering, and it's building the bridges. Really that you can really translate from IT back to business, to what business wants and what IT can deliver to them. And this was my journey to IT. And I have to say that till today, I'm still feeling myself or seeing myself more as a translator between the business and between the IT, because I'm still not an IT at all. I still don't understand zero and ones. And so this was my main journey, or my, let's say, way how I become where I am today. And what I think what it's also very important is, and we will probably talk about that a little bit later, that for any of this, let's say, turn in my career, I was not, let's say, asking if I should fail. I just simply decided, let's try. Mm-hmm. And I was not, let's say, considering, you know, what I will do if it will not be successful. I didn't think about that at all. I just always believed that, yes, you will manage.
And you did. Okay. And you also mentioned that you became a marketing manager at an IT company. That's like a double challenge, I believe, because it was in IT. And for the first time, you probably transitioned to marketing, and then you transitioned again towards more sales. How were those like expertise changes for you?
Yeah. First of all, if you will really remember, on probably not you, 1998, how marketing should look like at that time. You know, we didn't, of course, we had website that time, but it was everything. You know, we didn't have any databases, nothing. We were really using these yellow pages for creating the database and other things. So for me, it was really the pioneering and trying and, experience a lot of new things. What I'm really very grateful, because as you said, I was working for this local company that is building the bridges. And I had a chance because my father was one of the director of that company. And I had a chance that I really changed departments from finance to sales to production to all others, what this company has. And it gave me really the background that you are not just like one profile. Mm-hmm. And this is also what currently I'm very much leveraging. And for marketing, it was very important, because I think that marketing, what is the most important is that you need to understand, you know, the end customer. You need to understand to whom you want to deliver the message. And because, you know, as I was one whole year with the finance department, this is totally different world than you are in production. So from that side, this is something that I'm really very grateful that I had this chance. And I'm trying, let's say, use this opportunity still also now. Even that I am MD, I'm trying, let's say, to join the teams, different teams, and just observing what they are doing. Because this is the opportunity that you can really, let's say, better understand when you are talking to others, why they are thinking the way, or why they are looking for what they want. And of course, it's also good for sales, because, you know, if you want to be a good sales, you really need to understand what your customer wants.
That's amazing. So you said one thing that helped you was that you didn't think of failure as an option, you just went for it. The second thing was that the ability or the opportunity to try out different things, and if you're interested in transitioning maybe somewhere, you can be proactive and try to visit the department and learn from them. Would there be any other piece of advice for those who are wanting to do a career shift?
Yeah. I think that first of all, I think it's about really don't afraid to step out of your comfort zone, because this is something that it's blocking you for a lot of decisions to do. And I'm sure that if you really are committed to delivering the best of you, then the possibilities are really not having a limit. So this is something that usually I believe that we are putting the limits by ourselves. And it's very tough. Of course, you need to have a lot of support in your family, and of course, you know, with the company. Because, for example, if I'm, you know, let's say now looking back, and one of my first manager that he hired me, and the time really my English was not good at all. And he told me, Hanka, you have 3 months that you will improve your English and then you have the job. And he trusted me, he gave me the chance, you know, he didn't, let's say, ask that, you know, we will talk after that, whatever. No, he just gave me the chance. And the same person, you know, I was that time, I think 26 or something like that, you know, years old. And the company that I was work for has been acquired by another company. And he invited me to become a member of this acquisition team when I was really below 30. And run the all rebranding and run all this, let's say, consolidation of the company from the marketing and product and perspective and sales processes and so on. And again, he just gave me the chance. And I think this is very, let's say, for me was really very important. And I'm trying now to use it the same, that, of course, you know, the young people are bringing a lot of, let's say, energy and different perspective and so on. Probably not so much experience because they need to get this experience. And I really had exactly, you know, my journey this way, that I got the chance. And this is what I also recommending, that, you know, if you believe that you really want to, let's say, commit and try something new, I'm just please ask for that. And and really it was something that I have my own experience that is working, but you need to really deliver your best. Of course, it's not like anything for free. It's not exist.
Yeah, totally. And also maybe for all the managers who might be listening, if you see someone has a great potential and maybe there is just a little room for improvement, give them the chance. Mm-hmm. One of your latest challenges was that you, from being a manager, became a manager of managers.
Yes.
What were and are the main challenges in managing managers for you?
I think that I'm still learning. I still see that I have a lot of areas to improve because for me, the biggest challenge is that you really need to empower and get, to empower those managers that you are not stepping into their areas of responsibility. And this is something that still, I think it's very important that you will really decide or even define really very precisely what is your responsibility and what is their responsibility? Because if you would like to have really successful managers, those people ideally should be better than you. And of course, it's going hand to hand with the power and with the authorization. So this is something that I'm still now working on, because as always, you know, sometimes it's much more easy to do it by yourself rather than waiting, you know, and so on and so on. So this is kind of, let's say, behavior that I'm also working on my own. I think this is the biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to
give them the space to operate within their area of expertise.
Yes absolutely.
In one article I read that you love challenges and that you really welcome change, which is a beautiful trait in this world. What are some of the challenges that you expect in front of you right now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If I will start with a private world, I have two kids. My son now, from September, I hope, will go to the last class of the basic school. So we will have one of the challenges to really pick for him another, let's say, school, gymnasium, whatever, I don't know. He also don't know, and he asked me the same question what you asked me at the beginning. Mom, did you know at the when you finished the basic school what you want to do? And I said no. I
didn't have no idea.
So this is one of the challenge, of course, that and especially also after, let's say, having him almost 6 months at home, because the second let's say classes of the basic school, you know, were home the whole quarantine. So it will be, I think, this coming back to this normal cadence and really have a rhythm as before. But also this is something that it's, I can see it also in the business, because of course we introduced the home office and fairly said we just finished second quarter as a full remote quarter. So it means that, you know, majority of the people really were working from home. And I think what it's really very important and the challenge that I see currently really in front of me, it's keep their motivation, keep their commitment, you know, keep their engagement. Because of course now each one of us as a manager need to learn and start to really practice a little bit different behavior, because I cannot, let's say, now starting to have all hands and really presenting something. And of course over the video it's different because you don't have this, you know, feedback, you don't have this interactivity. So this is definitely something that, but on the other side I think that it's also good that we have been pushed to try, you know, really this remote world. What does it mean? So this is something that currently I'm really a lot of studying in terms of really what makes you you know as a motivation, you know, how you should really influence the engagement of the people, how you should really keeping also, you know, on their side this life work balance, because of course this remote management bring another big challenge because the people were online really not 24 hours, but really till the from the morning till the afternoon. And this is all new for us. And we just need to be example as a managers that how to do it, you know, how to really keep still the balance and how to be ready for this new normal, because I believe it will be a new normal. So this is the challenge. And I see it positively, you know, I have to say that I was surprised that, you know, Zoom now was also normal platform for a lot of webinars or discussion, and the people, you know, the first one, everybody was silent, you know, and then for the second and the third, then you already had few people that were not afraid and they raised their hand, you know, and they really start to talk. And I think it's great also for them to understand what are the benefits of the technologies. So,
Yeah, totally. We all need to get used to it. And I attended a workshop by Christina Muntan, and she talked about the future of leadership and that it would be probably like the hybrid model of leadership, because some people will still prefer to come to the office and some would enjoy working from home more. So how to bring all together without, you know, doing any difference for those who are in person and for those who are remote and still do the same good work, you know. And it was really interesting. Where do you go for resources on developing yourself in this area?
First of all, I selected some of the courses, some of them are online, some of them on site. One of them that really for me it's very interesting, it's a Predator Code. It's called Predator Code, and it's combination of you know, like normal leadership styles, but what they are adding to that, because the person who is leading this training is a person who was the he was a fighter. So he is using a lot of similarities and the logic of, you know, for the fight. So how you as a, let's say, preparing for the fight, you know, when you decided when go back, you know, when to start, you know, really the attack, you know, and so on and so on. And he has a whole kind of very interesting model of how you are collecting the information, how you are, let's say, evaluating information, how you are creating the network of influence, you know, how you really, what is the self-motivation, what is the motivation, how you can really keep for the team itself. And so on. And it have 9 components, and it's really a little bit outside of the typical business leadership, let's say, program. Because I'm big fan of yoga and all this East, let's say, kind of culture and philosophy. So it's for me very nature, because a lot of things what he's saying is that, for example, one of very interesting things is about the mobilization. You know, when you are really in the crisis, you know, when you are really in the middle of the fight, of course, that your body is possible to mobilize themselves and really come with the absolutely extra plus energy and ideas, whatever. But this mobilization, it's possible only for some, you know, period of time. And then you need time for rest. And I think it's very important also to think when you are in constant, let's say, not crisis, but really under big pressure now since March. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that, you know, we will think about that. Okay, this is now when we need to really be more, let's say, business oriented, and let's try to do something. But then you need to have at least 1 week that you will, let's say, have a little bit of rest also for the team, that the people can really somehow, let's say, breathe normally, that they are not, because if you will constantly increasing, of course, it will not work. Because then, you know, this mobilization and this part of the resources that you have for this type of job, of course, you know, you will use them all and you will not have nothing. So this is something that is really very interesting, and it's very much resonating with what I believe in terms of, you know, how you need to treat your body, your mind, and really this kind of thing. So this is example one of the course that I take, and I'm continuing in September again in the other module. So it's very interesting.
Amazing. Predator code. Thank you for the tip. Yeah. You mentioned two things I want to get back to. That is yoga, and that is vacation and time off. But before I jump into that, I wanted to ask you about some of the accomplishments and maybe sometimes even some of the failures or mistakes that you did in the past. So accomplishments you're proud of, and mistakes that you're probably also proud of because you don't repeat them.
For me, what is really the accomplishment that I'm really validating or somehow valuing myself is that when I'm getting the feedback that really my employees or my customers or my partners seeing me as a trusted partner. So somebody who for you who is really big, not because of the position or whatever, but really trusted partner. And I'm really, for me, the value of being a transparent and having a clear goals and expectation, it's something that for me it's very important. So I'm really, even in the business, I'm always trying to be as open as possible. And if something it's not possible, I'm really trying to say in the earliest possible phase, because I think that then you are creating, you know, this expectation that you cannot fulfill. So this, let's say, really being a transparent, being a trusted partner to all the ecosystem that I'm working with, this is for me the biggest accomplishment. And for some of the, let's say, I already got some of this, let's say, similar feedback from my customers or my even employees that coming back to you asking you for the advice or something. I think this is the best award that you can get. But of course, the failing it's very important. And as we talk about this managing managers, I think this was one of my biggest fails so far, when I was always trying and I always had a feeling that I need to support them more. I need to, let's say, be there for them. You know, similar what you are doing for your team, but in the manager case, it's a little bit different. You need to really give them the space. And I think that my one of the failing was really that I'm quite demanding manager, and sometimes, you know, the space probably is not the big as it should be. But then you are really seeing that some of the managers gave you this feedback immediately. Hang up, please stop, don't do it. This is something that it's my job. I need to do it. And it's great that, you know, you have such a people that will tell you openly.
That's amazing that you have the trusted partners in others too. Hanka, how does your usual work day look like?
One of the things what I am also very grateful is, and it's a little going back a little bit also what I have said, that how I took my first job, is that I think it's already 4 years back or even more. I was looking that time for some kind of, let's say, help with the administration and so on. The time I was responsible for 16 countries, and really it was very difficult. Still without the assistant, I was doing everything myself. And I was looking for somebody who will help me. And I got a tip that we have at our reception one guy. That he is very, let's say, proactive, and that he's really very much supportive, and probably it will be good for him as a chance to move from the reception. And we tried, and he's my personal assistant today. And I have to say that it's one of the best decisions what I really did, because this person, we really match. So if you are asking me for my day, he's a manager of my day, because he's really managing my calendar. But he's looking from the perspective like little bit of predictive, yeah. So when I need to be in the meeting in the center, he's trying to optimize the meetings before and after, so I don't need to go, you know, from one part of Prague to another one. So a little bit of this small intelligence and logistics things and so on that normally I'm not even think about, but he's really great for that. And it's helping me a lot, because this is something that he can really, let's say, and it's for all managers, that if you will really allow somebody to help you in the areas that, you know, it's not necessary that you will do yourself, I think that you will get a lot of time for you, for your job, and then, you know, you can leave this one to somebody else. But in general, you know, as I said, I have two kids, so in the morning we have normal stress to go in to school on time. So this is our time in the car that we are going together to school. And this is also one of the, let's say, my typical behavior, because as they are in the school roughly around 7:45. So in the office, I am normally at 8. So mm-hmm. I have around 1 hour for email cleaning, preparation, you know, before this 9, when usually, you know, the others are coming. And I have to say, it's very important for me that I can look at to what it's in front of me and so on. And also I use this time for cleaning the emails. So usually I am not opening the emails in the evening at home, if somebody is or calling me or whatever, of course I'm responding, but I'm trying when I'm home, I'm not opening the emails, and I'm doing in the morning. But you know, more often than in the mm-hmm. evening. Yeah. So this is my day.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So you have 1 hour before everyone arrives for yourself, yes, to get yourself ready to do this, you know, administration. Yes. Then of course the usual day happens. Yes. Meaning, you know, again, a lot of stuff happening at work, and then the evening you keep more for yourself and for family without,
yes, absolutely,
without opening the laptop.
It's very important, and the same for me. It's a weekend. It took me really some years to really be very strict in that one, but currently my weekends are only for me and for my family. So I'm not working during the weekends. Mm,
that's a big one. That's a big one for me too, especially since I'm working from home.
Yes,
and I don't differentiate so much between the weekends and the weekdays. It's tough.
Yeah. And I think it's especially a big challenge also, because the when you really, it's not a work for you, but it's really like more that you enjoy, that you really like your work. And it's also in my case, you know, I really mm-hmm. love my job. So then you are not seeing that I am in a work, and this is because it's for you also a fun. It's also you are enjoying. So then I really see a lot of, you know, the similarities. Then you are not, let's say, dividing, that you really need to have some rest.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, so this is one of the things that you use to balance a successful career of a managing director and your family. So weekends and evenings are meant for the family. Yeah. What else do you do to balance this out?
Yeah, as I said, you know, almost 10 years back, I discovered a yoga. That time, you know, when I was on the first lesson, I said, oh my God, you know, I will be sitting somewhere and doing, it's not me. But I was totally, let's say, hit by the first lesson. So since that, I'm practicing yoga. I have to say that I'm not the perfect yoga, let's say, practicer, because I'm almost, let's say, still at the beginning, and doing, you know, this basic stuff. But just have an opportunity to understand, you know, how to breathe, you know, how to, when you have some problems physical with the body, how you can help yourself. So mm-hmm. yoga and sport in general, because my whole family is heavy bikers, so we are biking, and I am a big fan of skiing, so We have, you know, the year divided to skiing and biking season. And this is something that, you know, those are the sports that you really need to be fully engaged. So it's not like, you know, that your kids are playing, I don't know, tennis or football and you are watching them. You know, it's really that you're enjoying and that you are part of that you are together. So it's for me really the way how I'm cleaning my mind, and that I'm really just like fully focusing on the sport what I'm doing. So mm-hmm. So this is my way. Some things of course I still not have enough time for, that like reading the books. It's something that usually I'm getting very quickly sleep you know when I'm mm-hmm. opening the book. So still some activities that missing, but it will come, I believe.
Absolutely. You just came from a longer vacation. Yes. And I wanted to ask, are you able to switch off even, you know, during those times of holiday?
I fairly said, I have to say, it was my first vacation when I really switch off. It was really in the whole my career, you know, till career till now, because we had really very, very hard first half of the year, especially with COVID and with the other things. And really the stress was also visible on my kids, that for them it was also a lot of new stress and other things. Mm-hmm. So really I committed to myself that for this time I will be fully focused only what we are doing. So I didn't open email for 2.5 weeks, really, even a single one. I didn't open it. Of course, as I said, my personal assistant, I asked him to check the emails each day. So it was something that I was like quite safe, because I knew that if something is there, he will discover and he will let me know. So it was kind of, let's say, cheating, you know, that still somebody is watching and but not me. And a second was that whoever called me, I didn't pick up the phone and I sent SMS that I am on the vacation. And if it's super urgent, I will be available. But if not, I am asking to be in touch when I'm back. And I have to say only 3 people, and it was really urgent, 3 people replied that please call me if it's possible. The rest moved the discussion after my returning back. And I think it's important that you will really make the decision and that you really stick on what you have decided. Because of course it's very easy to, because we have mobiles, we have, you know, every always you are online. So yeah, so this is my just very fresh experience how to manage. If I will manage next time, I don't know, but this time I managed.
I'm glad you did. It's amazing. And it really takes a lot of discipline to not take, you know, one call, because if you take one call, you already broke, you know, the thing you committed for yourself. So that's amazing that you managed to stick to it. And I hope no fires were there for you waiting when you came back.
Absolutely. No, it was okay. It was really okay.
Super. Hanka, I wanted to ask you, there are often people along our career path and our life path in general who help us get where we are today. Mm-hmm. Who is that, and maybe was that in the past for you?
I think that I partially already mentioned it. Definitely I still believe it's my parents, because the chance that my father gave me, and also kind of, let's say, support and freedom I got from my mom, it's something that I think somehow create who I am. And second is that my first two managers, you know, it was really both of them were people who gave me the chance, and they gave me chance with no, let's say, single conditions, whatever. They just said, okay, if you want, you can try. And I think those people just allow me to understand that if really you are delivering the best job, then usually, I'm not saying it's always equal, but usually the success is coming. So, you know, it was really mostly in the beginning of my career. And what I think now I see for my future is I was I was very lucky again, also in SAP, that I got a coach, external coach, almost at the beginning of when I joined SAP. And I also got a mentor. So I have both. Mentor is internal one, coach is external one. And I think that to have, you know, those people that you can really call them and just to discuss and just to, let's say, ask about the opinion, it's very important because, you know, really becoming a manager of managers, one of the, let's say, fact that it's coming hand to hand with that is that you are alone because, you know, you cannot discuss with your managers. You need to come with some vision, with something, and you need somebody with whom you should, let's say, have a brainstorming, some dialogue, and so on. Of course, you have management team, but it's a little bit different that, you know, when you are really making the decision, then you are really the person who is responsible for that, and you need to make it. So for that one, I'm really also, again, grateful for that I have such a people that they are opening your eyes and bringing this kind of hints, you know, that, you know, you should try, you know, this method, or you should look at to that one, and so on and so on. And also, when we discuss about these courses and some, let's say, possibility when I'm getting the information, during the COVID, I subscribed the masterclass and I subscribed some additional online courses from MIT. And it's very interesting, you know, it's something that, again, because you can see how different people are reacting, and it's bringing you some, let's say, feedback, or at least some kind of, let's say, reality check, if your thinking makes sense. So I think it's very important to have somebody closer to you. But I think it's very important also, and especially in the Czech Republic, or for the people in the Czech Republic, to not just be looking on our small market. I think it's very important that you are looking abroad, that you are really trying to see how it's solving in other countries.
And getting inspired from professionals from different markets. Amazing. So you mentioned your coach and your mentor. Do you work with them till this day?
Yes, with both.
With both, and the same ones.
Yes, actually, yes.
So,
it's very interesting also how our topics and dialogues are changing, because really, of course, when I was in the position to managing 16 countries, I had totally different challenges, because it was really about how to distribute my attention, how to, let's say, be closer to them, even that you are not together with them, and so on. Now, of course, as an MD, it's more about, okay, I have a lot of legal responsibilities that now you need to deal with, that it's totally new for me as a legal representative of SAP. And of course, you know, you are the front face for everything, for all escalation. This is something when somebody is asking me, you know, what does it mean to be managing director? I'm always saying, you know, this is the position that you can be sure that 100% of all escalation coming to your table. Because, you know, usually the customers, when they are happy, they are not calling you, we are so super happy. No, this is really very, very occasionally. But when something is not going, let's say, good, but even it's in the other part of the company that I am not directly responsible, you are the face. You are for them the SAP. So it means that they are calling you and you need to fix it. And this is something that I really took as an opportunity to learn. And I think it's very important, especially for women in the business, because I think we are very we are touching very personally what is going around. And it was also in my past that when I got a feedback, or when something didn't went, let's say, as I planned, that I took it very personally, that I failed, or, you know, that it was really my fault or whatever. And I think that this position now learning me, or showing me, that how you will really divide it about, let's say, this is just a professional feedback to what happened, and it's not feedback to you. So you are, again, just like as a professional coming back to that, and not putting so much personal emotions and, you know, all these, let's say, things around that. It's also one of the parts that I'm learning now in the last 2 years. And they are helping me with that a lot, you know, I mean, especially the coach.
Mm. Great. Hanka, looking more towards the future, what is next for you?
It's a very good question. I really don't know.
Who knows, right?
Fairly said, I like my job for two reasons. The first one are people, because I know that I need to work with people, and I really love to work with people, and especially with the young ones. So we have currently hired three very young talents, and monitoring them, watching them, advising them how they should do it. This is something that I'm really very interested. So definitely I hope and I believe in my future. I would like to I would like to have still opportunity to work closely with people and bringing them my experience or showing them, the possibilities. And the second are my customers. This is the one of the big beauty of SAP, because as we have thousands of customers in the Czech Republic, through all industries. So we have finance, we have utilities, we have telco, we have production, we have retail, e-commerce, public, just name it. And for me, it's an absolutely amazing opportunity to meeting those customers and just like learning how the things really working, So of course, I don't know, for example, Siko is one of our customer, and yes, you can go to the shop and just like select your new bathroom or kitchen, whatever. But if you have a little bit of, let's say, this, hidden things, what is behind the scene, it's amazing to see what all the possibilities. The same, for example, is with Košík, also our customers. And when you are talking to them about all new ideas they are having, and then you see that the service that he was thinking like a year back, and now it's reality. This is something that make me super proud that at least somehow we are helping them, mm-hmm. to do it this thing. So definitely this kind of, let's say, variety and lot of, let's say, different areas and combination, I believe it will be part of my future.
I hope so too. Hanka, one last question. As at Fempalet, we are a lot about empowering and supporting other women and saying things that we like and appreciate about them out loud, because mm-hmm. we sometimes need to hear that. I wanted to ask if there are any women from your surrounding that you would like to give a shout out to.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when you shared with me this question. And fairly said, for me, it's my mom. But not only her. I have to say that all women in my family, my cousin, my sister-in-law, each one of them are in totally different position, jobs, and so on. But what I'm proud of, and I'm really would like to really shout out, is that they can combine the family and businesses. This is something that I think it's the best, because my cousin, she is a haircut. She has a small daughter, but now she decided even to put her own clothes, so she's really designing the dresses. But she get in touch with a special group of the community for the child that are born, let's say, earlier than after 9 months. And she's also, let's say, even it's very small production, she's, let's say, doing this charity for them and helping them and promoting them, and again have something behind it. And she's doing everything, and when you are meeting her, it's like she's still smiling, and it doesn't look that she's super busy and so on. And I have to say that I have so many, let's say, women around me in my private world that are so great in that one. So I think this combination of, really be successful in the business, whatever you are doing, but also having, have your family, I think that each and every woman that is able to do it should be really proud for that. And I think we should applause to her.
Yay. That is really beautiful. And it's a big one. And I wish everyone to be able to do that in their life. And I hope for myself to be able one day to handle it the way you do and that the women around you do. So Hanka, thank you very much for the interview. I really appreciate your time. It was lovely chatting with you. And I'm happy to have you as a part of our community and our mentor.
Yeah. Now, first of all, I'm really, as I mentioned also in my LinkedIn, I'm really proud that you asked me to become a part of that, because I believe it's very important that we also not talking only about this nice stuff, you know, that, you know, I'm in the position and blah, 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 and it's great. But I think it's also important to say that, yes, of course, it cost a lot of things, you know, that I didn't have the chance to visit or travel as I let's say, plan in the past and so on. Of course, you know, everything, it's not so pink, let's put it this way, as it looks like from outside. And I think that you are helping a lot, you know, to empower the young ladies, especially, to not be afraid.
Thank you. Hanka, have a lovely day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
And that's a wrap. But the fun doesn't have to stop here. If you have any questions, guest suggestions, or feedback, shoot us an email to podcast@fempala.com. To learn more about our community, head over right now to Fempala's Instagram or Facebook and get involved. Thank you for listening, and join us in 2 weeks for the next episode of On Air, a podcast by Fempala.